James from StravelPunk.com. Good morning. This damn screen. Turn off the screen. So my phone screen started, something happened yesterday and half of the screen is just flashing like an epileptic seizure wannabe wet dream. Fun times. I'm still recording on it though. It seems to be fine, just the screen doesn't work. Worth the poop. Today we're going to talk about the death of the middle class. I had a couple facts and stuff pulled up for this episode. We'll see if I can... I can't look at them, obviously. It's hard enough to see the screen as it is, but trying to see the messed up screen while driving is not a possibility. There will be some facts and figures in the show notes if you want to pop over to SpellPunk.com. I'm going to try to go from memory. So numbers may not be exact, but the feeling of the show will be right. So death of the middle class. I'm sure you feel it now. And I know a lot of us that have been preppers for a long time. We saw this coming. The downward class migration that Jack Spirico talked about a long time ago. Yes, he was right. But the middle class is no longer what it used to be. Maybe when I was a child, we were probably middle class. Maybe on the lower end of it. But, you know, we certainly weren't rich. But we weren't desperate. Like, I hear my wife talk about stories about her childhood. And she's like, we didn't have this, this. And I'm like, ooh, sounds pretty rough. You know, whereas at least my parents did a good enough job where, I mean, we had a house. We were probably renting. We were not a house owning family, but you know, it was a big house and we rented it. And well, my mom later on, we're not going to have the James's Childhood podcast today. That's not going to happen. But, you know, we had a house. We had cars. Sometimes my mom worked. Sometimes she didn't. You know, we had good Christmases. We were a well-off family. And, you know, I look at... For me now, you know, my wife... We've been talking about buying a house. We live in a tiny house. I built a tiny house. It's getting a bit... We have expanded, right? So it is bigger than I originally built it to accommodate kids. But it is fairly small, and like when you're married, sometimes you just want a little bit of space. And it's a little hard to do in a tiny house, you know. You can always storm outside, but it's a little hard to do. We've talked about it, you know, we've kind of dreamed, and I was like, if this was like the 90s and I made what I make now with my job, we would absolutely go buy a house. Like, it wouldn't even be a thing, right? Like, I saw a video yesterday from fellow Tennessean Patriot Nurse, and she said the median house income in Tennessee in the 70s was like, I want to say she said like $24,000, which seems ridiculous. That's surely not what she meant. So like I said, the numbers in this episode may not make sense. And I know I saw another video where like house prices have gone through the roof. Rent has gone through the roof. I don't even know if my family, even if you modernize, right? I don't know if we could have paid the rent on that house we were renting in like, God, it would have been like 90. 91, 92. I don't know if we could have afforded the rent on that house today. I'm sure if I could go find that house right now, and if it was still being rented, and it's probably not, I'm sure it's been flipped or sold or something, but a comparable house to that size, right? Which had a basement and an upstairs, you know, and a yard. It wasn't a giant acreage. It was in Nashville. Nashville is super trendy now, and I'm sure the house, I'm sure they bulldozed it and put up like two stupid houses in the tiny amount of plot that it had, and are charging a shit ton of money. But I'm sure the rent on that thing now would be like $2,000 or something a month, maybe. I see posts on Facebook where people are like renting houses, and it's like $1,600 for not very large houses. I haven't been in an apartment in a long time, like a decade or so. And I think the last time that I paid rent in a house, it had gone up to like $600. But I talk to people now, and it's, so within a decade, it's doubled, right? Like I easily see people talking about rent now for apartments of like $1,600, which is ridiculous. And let's stay on housing for a little bit longer, right? And I've made that point to my wife. I was like, if we made what we made now in the past, we would absolutely be out there getting a starter home. Or I don't want to be a starter home. I'm moving up, keeping up the judge. No, I can pretty much guarantee you when I buy a house, that is it. I'm done. I think it runs in my family. My dad was not. We didn't move a lot. We moved a bit, right? When I was a very young child, we lived in a trailer park. It was behind the trailer park was a cemetery, which is where all the kids played at. Which maybe explains some of the reason why I am the way I am. The 80s was a crazy time. We would ride our bikes through the trailer to the graveyard and then go play over there. G.I. Joe's on like gravestones and stuff. It was a great graveyard. Man, I should do an episode about the 80s. Yes, I was born in the 80s, so technically I should be remembering the 90s better. I remember being a little kid very well. Anyway, the housing prices have gone up so much. Like, I think I saw something, like I said, facts and figures may not make sense. The home prices since 2020 have gone up 8%, which, to be honest, seems a bit low. But the bell curve from like 1970 to 2025 has got to be a lot more than 8%. More than doubles. It has to be. You know, like I'd even thought, like, if housing prices were like $100,000 for a house, 120, that would probably still be. And I'm not gonna be one of those millennials, because yes, I am a millennial. I was born in 82, which just barely gets me out of the being a Gen Xer. I guess there's a bunch of names for us, because the brief window of Xennials or elder millennials, I feel like the millennial generation is too large, and those of us at the upper limit, right? Like, as soon as the cutoff happened, where it goes from Gen X to millennial, we don't relate to people that are the other spectrum, right? Like the youngest millennials out there, we can't really see eye to eye with. Like, it's such a big difference. Like, no. And I can't remember what the cutoff date is, but like, I want to say Gen X kicked over to millennial in like 81. So maybe I technically missed Gen X by like 5 days because I was born January 4th, 1982. 5 days earlier, I would have been a Gen Xer. I'm basically there, but anyway, I'm not going to bitch about that. I mean, I am bitching about this. There's another aspect of this death of the middle class too. It's the wages. Yes, I feel like wages have, they made like a lurch forward, right? Like it was stagnant. And then somewhere around 2020-ish, between, it was definitely after like 2017, right? So somewhere around 2020, wages made a huge lurch forward. On the app that I use for work, I can see pay history since I've been in this current, I've quit and came back to this job a few times. The most recent iteration of me working for this company, I can see my wage starting out, and then it within a few years it doubled. Yes, I got a promotion, but that doesn't account for the super doubling. It has doubled within that time frame. And now I make more and more money than I've ever made before. But still, when you look at the totality of like the things eroding that money, I don't really make that much more, right? Like, there are definitely times before where I had more disposable income. Get out of the road, you jerk. Stupid armadillos. Go back to Texas where you belong. Yucky. I just drank my wife's Coke that she opened and left in here days ago. Ugh. Anyway, with all the rising costs. No, we're going to get to that later. Sorry, this episode seems a bit scatterbrained. It's just the realities of recording at 3 in the morning. Sometimes your brain doesn't function. And a lot of, like, McDonald's, for example, now pays, like, to what my mind would consider a lot of money starting out, right? For that job. Like, if you look at minimum wage, which is stupid and a dumb indicator, no one's paying minimum wage anymore. It's a dumb, like, it's a dumb thing, right? I don't know of a job you can go get and make $7.65 or whatever federal minimum wage is. Nobody is paying that because you will not get an employee. Even the teenagers can go to McDonald's and make more than $10 an hour. Most jobs are like $15. My brain still says that's good money, right? Like, if you were making $15 an hour in 1990, you would be a baller. That would be good money. I mean, at $15 an hour, you're breaking like $1,000 a paycheck for a biweekly paycheck. Probably like $1,200, $2,400 a month. You think I was? Oh my God, I don't even know what rent would be. But if you still had like $500 a month apartment rent, that's a fraction of your income, right? You have, anyway, yes, wages have gone up, but if you look at the cost of things around you, it's not a good ratio. You know, whereas there should be a correlation, right? Like, buying the median home price should be a percentage of the median income. And that percentage is now so far askew, it's ridiculous. You know, like, if the annual salary was like $24,000 and your home is like $24,000 or $50,000, yes, if you did nothing but pay rent, you could pay your home off in a year. Obviously, you're not. You have to live. So there's that. For that to be true now, the average person would have to be making like $500,000 a year. Like the median home price for a house in Tennessee is like $400,000, $450,000, somewhere in that range. And I've looked around. There are shitty houses all around me that are like $400,000 or more. Having a normal home listed for like $600,000 isn't absurd. I mean, isn't unseen, right? If you go to, I go look on Zillow and I look, there are absolutely like $600,000 houses around me. And I'm like, who's buying this? Who can it, like, it's be weary, guys. It's going to break. I'm kind of like, I know this can't last. Like, you're better off owning a home. But I don't really care to get into it at like $600,000 when I'm saving and watching, and that's what I'm doing. But anyway, so wages haven't gone up. They've basically been stagnant. There was a lurch, like I said, but they like that ratio between like your expenses and your wages has been destroyed. The last erosion. I'm going to talk about the erosion, right? So your wages in the grand scheme of like how well you're doing is relative. Everything is relative. The more you have to spend of that, the less useful it is, right? So grocery prices have easily inflated like 20% across the board, but that doesn't account for things like Easter's coming up, and for my daughter to dye and color Easter eggs, I bought an 18 pack of Easter eggs, an 18 pack of eggs yesterday, and I paid $7+ for 18 eggs. $7 for 18 eggs. That's not even the highest they've been recently. That just happens to be what they are at that moment. Meat has gone probably, I don't want to say meat has gone, most meat has gone upwards in the realm of like 50% increase. I'm very familiar with meat prices, being that part of my job responsibilities are being in charge of a meat department, part of them, right? And I do the price changes on meat. So I tend to be fairly familiar, plus I buy meat, obviously. I can tell you, at some point before COVID, so between 2017 and now, somewhere in there, ribeye steaks, the cheapest, right? Not the high-end, like prime or whatever, but just the USDA choice, ribeye steaks, $7.96 a pound, somewhere below $8, right? Seven something a pound. Right now, if you go buy stew meat, which should have been the cheapest, which used to be like $3.48 a pound, that's $7 a pound now, pushing $8 a pound. Ribeyes, $14 or so a pound, so double. They might be on sale right now for $11. Still an increase. But they definitely have gone up to $14 a pound. They fluctuate. Going into grilling season, the price will probably drop to increase volume. Whereas like in the off season, the winter time, ribeye steaks will tend to go up. You're welcome as your friendly meat pricing guy. So there's that. Health insurance has gone up a crazy amount. I pay a stupid amount of money from my paycheck every 2 weeks for health insurance that, by the way, sucks. It is basically useless. It doesn't do any of the things that I really wanted to do. It may have kept me from going to the poorhouse for my wife's surgery she had last year. maybe. I mean, I think we still owe like, well, we technically can't owe more than $5,000 because I think I'm $5,000 out of pocket. And it was probably a $20,000 surgery. So there's that. But yeah, you know, I just want to be able to pop into my local doctor and be like, I would like modafinil. And the doctor's like, I got you, bro. And slap my hand and send me out the door a prescription because that's what I want. Anyway, health insurance is eroding it. The general grocery cost is eroding it. Gas, I'm driving my gas station right now. It is $2.52 a gallon. I remember when I started driving, it was 99 cents a gallon. $2.52 isn't the worst. Everything is more expensive, except for bullshit. TVs are cheaper. If you want a TV, there you go. So with that, all of these factors are kind of contributing to the death of the middle class, right? Like, you're probably living paycheck to paycheck or struggling. You're having to tighten the belts a little, even though in the past, you would be doing great. We are a single income family. If my wife had a job, we would probably be doing even more better, but I don't want my daughter to be in daycare and raised by lunatics. So there's that. So let's get into the housekeeping and wrap this episode up. Hope you enjoyed it. This has been a fun episode. Maybe a depressing episode, actually. Not a fun episode. It's been depressing. I'm sorry, I depressed you. If you did like this episode, consider joining the Raw Punk Army, which you can do for as low as $5 a month or as much as $50 per year. And with that, your benefits tend to be you get the episodes in convenient to download zip files. You get ebooks and you get discounts to vendors. Next, you can join on Patreon, where your benefit tends to be you get the episode earlier than everybody else, and you get the episode earlier than everybody else, which you can do for as low as $1 a month, as much as $5 per month. Next, you can go to survivalpunk.com, click on any of the episodes. There'll be an Amazon item of the day in the section called Links. If you click that link and you buy the Amazon item of the day, or anything you want, I make a small amount of advertising revenue. You don't pay anything extra, and everybody is happy. Next, do consider sharing the show wherever you hang out online. People are like, hey, I'm looking for a podcast. Or people are asking a question about a topic that I've recently covered or ever covered. Let people know about the show. Nextly, I do want to do something special for episode 500, which should be, I don't know, 2 months or so, 3 months. I got to figure out the math. We're about to push episode 400, so we have 100 episodes to go. I do 20 episodes a month. 20, 40, 60, 80, 90, 5 months. 5 months or so should be plenty of time to do something super duper extra special. If you have ideas, let me know, jamesferralpunk.com, or comment on this episode wherever you're listening at. And with that, this has been James from StarrellPunk.com. DIY to survive, you guys. In a war combat, survival the key. DIY kings with a plan to be free. Prepping for the fall when the system breaks. Learning from the past, fixing our mistakes. Resilience built on sweat and grit. Fight for life, gotta never quit. From the city streets to the wild unknown. With our hands, we carve the stone. Tables we turn.